Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's Word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
Hi, I'm James McDonald. You know, we're all such regular people, aren't we? Here I am driving in my truck and thinking about you and another awesome Easter celebration. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Truly, Christ is alive, and that is our hope. That is our life. That is our purpose. We're all such regular people. That's why we're worshiping Jesus. That's why we're celebrating the empty tomb. And I got a wonderful Easter teaching for you this weekend that I pray is going to really bless your life and lift your spirits and encourage those you love. And it starts with a little special feature on the names. Our names are so regular, and His name is above every name. Watch this.
A name is a designation. It's your most personal address. A name contains a whole world of associations, undertones, meanings, significance. When you hear a name, your brain floods with images, ideas, and connected memories. Beyonce, Hamilton, Superman, Elvis, Tubman, Churchill, even nicknames. The Great One, The Golden Bear, Air Jordan, The Refrigerator. Each just a few letters with a world of connotation relative to the individual. For landowning families in England, receiving an inheritance is conditional upon adopting the name of the deceased. For young parents, the new baby's name can be an endless source of research and deliberation, or a tribute to an earlier generation. The right name can get you a job. A name can open doors. A name can carry hidden baggage. A name can have secret and personal meaning. People spend a tremendous amount of their time and energy trying to make, maintain, or regain a good name. Ancient Near Eastern civilizations thought names to be extremely powerful. In Old Testament Israel, names were more than a label. They were a harbinger of destiny, a glimmer of a person's essence, weighted with prophetic meaning. Abram and Sarai were renamed Abraham and Sarah as they received their calling as the father and mother of many nations. Hannah named her son Samuel, meaning heard by God, when he was born in answer to her prayers. Solomon means peace, and he was the first king of Israel whose reign was without war. Jacob was renamed Israel, meaning he has struggled with God and men and prevailed. A name that was more than a concept, a self-fulfilling prophecy. The Hebrew people revered the proper name of God so highly that they would not write or speak it, instead substituting Adonai or Hashem, which means the name. In ancient scrolls of the Torah, the proper name of God is represented by the four-letter tetragrammation Yod, He, Vav, He, or YHWH. It appears to be a causative inflection of the verb to be. In Exodus 3, God identifies himself as I am that I am, the rough equivalent of starting an introduction with the words, and now for someone who needs no introduction.
And how true it is, Jesus Christ is infinite, undiminished God dwelling in authentic humanity. It's called the Incarnation, and it is the greatest event in human history. In Matthew 16, Jesus was talking with his disciples, Matthew 16, 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, that's actually in the north of Israel, I've been there. There's a beautiful, a large, several hundred foot rock face, and into the rock face have been carved these alcoves. And during the time of Christ, they had various idols, false gods, erected in these alcoves. And Jesus stood, picture that as his backdrop. And Jesus stood there and said, who do people say that the Son of Man is? They said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. It's really not different today. There are just as many thoughts about Jesus Christ as you could possibly imagine. But all of that is not the important issue. Here it comes. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? The remainder of this message is dedicated to your answer to that question. It doesn't matter who your mom says Jesus Christ is. It doesn't matter who your friends say Jesus Christ is. It doesn't matter who your son or daughter says Jesus Christ is. It matters what you say. And I believe that Jesus Christ would say to you here today, who do you say that I am? And you, like many, would, like there, would rehearse off. Well, I've heard they say, some say, wait. But who do you say that I am? And so the answer must be settled. And I'd like to try to help you with that by going back through these four incredible names. You know, I look at the phrase there in the text. People say, who do people say? You know, people say a lot of things, don't they? Have you noticed that? I mean, has the cacophony of noise in our world ever been as loud as it is? You probably have hundreds of people around you saying things and thousands of talking heads on television and millions or billions by social media, everybody talking all at once. How many people wish there was a mute button for all of it? Come on, right? Right? And wouldn't it be just great if you could just silence all the noise and settle for yourself once and for all this eternal question, who do you say that I am? Well, people say, for example, if God really cared, he'd do something. Preachers actually have those questions too. Do you ever think to yourself, if God really cared, well, why is there still cancer? Rates actually growing, not decreasing, new kinds of cancer, and some have falling death rates, but others are new ones are showing up all. Come on, God, do something about that. That would be awesome. Or we see the famine in the world and the terrorism. I don't even know what to say about all the police violence. I can't see one more act of police violence. They deserve our thanks and appreciation, don't they? But I mean, I just feel confused about all of it. I mean, the whole world is going, next word, crazy. It's just getting crazier by the minute. And so people are like, man, why doesn't God do something? And the word Emmanuel is the answer to that question. God has done something. The word Emmanuel occurs three times as a name, only four times total in Scripture, mainly around the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14, where it says, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, the word means God with us. Now, sometimes I say things at church and I think people are, it just kind of goes, phew. So slow down for a second. 1,000 years before Jesus Christ came into the world, the Old Testament scriptures said that he would come, he would be born of a virgin, his name would be called Emmanuel. Now, I just think it's hard to hear that. The Old Testament scrolls, the little shepherd boy in 1947 found in the Qumran caves, what are known now as the Dead Sea Scrolls, because it's just a few miles from the Dead Sea, and every scientific carbon dating method reveals that those scriptures are 800 to 1,000 years before the time of Christ. And there it is, written down hundreds of years before he came. Turn to your neighbor and say, miracle. Absolutely a miracle. Absolute confirmation of the reality of which I speak. Now, some people, though, they say if God was real, he'd really do something. But God really has done something. He came to the earth. He lived a perfect life. He died a sinless death so that we could be forgiven. That's a lot. I was driving home from the airport. I have the same guy. If I need a ride, I arrive home from somewhere late at night. I have someone, the same guy, pick me up. And he knows I'm a pastor, and we talk sometimes. And he said to me, you know, I just don't think this thing about God, it's not even knowable. So I said the same thing I always say here a few days ago. I said, well, I love this sentence. I said, the truths of Christianity have satisfied the greatest minds in human history. You and me aren't even capable of framing a question that there isn't a good answer for. He said, well, Einstein didn't believe in God. I said, well, you're just wrong about that. He said, no, for a fact, Einstein didn't believe in God. I said, I'll text you. Some quotes from Einstein, quote, every scientist becomes convinced that the laws of nature manifest the existence of a spirit vastly superior to that of men. Einstein said, my God created laws. His universe is not ruled by wishful thinking, but by immutable laws. Einstein said, my religiosity consists of a humble admiration of the infinitely superior spirit. That superior reasoning power forms my idea of God. And I'm not saying that Einstein believed the gospel. I'm just saying that one of the greatest minds that God ever created looked at all that is in a deeper way than anyone ever had before and said, no chance did this come from nothing. An entire universe, uncaused, self-generated? I don't have that much faith. Do you know who Blaise Pascal is? Here's a picture of him. Maybe like me, you have only a vague recognition of the name Blaise Pascal. He lived from 1623 to 1662. In that short time, he influenced the discovery and the science behind calculating machines, public transportation, probability theory, the vacuum, which set the stage for quantum physics. His statistical probability analysis envisioned the insurance industry, management science. His thoughts stand behind the jet engine, internal combustion motors, the atomic bomb, mass media. All of this and much more came from the mind of Blaise Pascal. He only lived 39 years. In many darkened hearts, God is viewed as the invention of weak minds. And while Pascal was private about his faith, after he died, one of his aides found a crumpled piece of paper pinned to the inside of his jacket, and here's what it said. Pascal had written in his own handwriting these words, the year of grace, 1654, Monday, the 23rd of November, from about 10:30 at night till 12:30, fire, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not the God of the philosophers and of the learned, certitude, feeling of joy, peace, God of Jesus Christ, my God and your God, Pascal wrote, and then forgetfulness of the world and everything except God. He can only be found by the ways taught in the gospel. Grandeur of the human soul. Righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. Joy, 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 Pascal wrote. Tears of joy. Let me not be separated from him forever. May I never forget his words. One of the greatest and most creative minds in human history could not be satisfied in itself and science. I wish I had all that memorized so I could have shared it with the guy driving me home. He said, I don't know, it just seems too much for me. I said, let me ask you this. You're unmarried. He said, yes, I am. I said, you're strong, you're handsome. Why don't you just go over to the mall and throw some girl over your shoulder, take her back to your house, and you know, lock her in a room. You got a wife. Well, immediately, I mean, the look on your faces there was awesome. Okay, bad idea, but I said it for a reason, because immediately he said, I would never do that. That would be meaningless to force someone to love me. And I said, you're right. And that's why God won't force you to love him. And that's why God made you with a choice. And all in the universe, in the stars, and in the waves, and in the beauty of all of it, he's shouting, I exist, I'm here. And in his son, he is screaming, God with us. Emmanuel, that's what it means. Do you have that? Make a note of this. God prefers sincere worship from a few people of faith to the coerced worship of the masses. So he created us with the ability to choose between faith and doubt. Because the majority chooses self and sin, the world is going crazy. And God offers today what he's always offered, himself as the answer to those who believe. Do you believe? He's asking that question of everyone this morning. Who do you say that I am? And then this, people say, if God really cared, he'd do something. He did. Emmanuel. People say, there are many roads to God. How many people have heard that? There's many roads to God as long as you're sincere. I mean, what's the difference really? You know, Buddha, Muhammad, Hare Krishna, Jesus, they're all the same. It's just different roads to the same God. I'm sorry, I want to be super gentle, but that is, well, let me say it this way. It's all the same is always a statement of the ignorant. That's what people say who haven't thought about it very much. That's what people say who haven't studied it very much. They're all the same. Let me just ask you how this works in your life. Some people say, coffee, it's all the same. It's all the same. Now, how many people would, hands up if you disagree with that, right? Yeah, but people, Starbucks, you know, Maxwell House, a spoon in it. It's all the same. Incorrect. Some cheap guy's finally gonna get engaged and he's, rocks, they're all rocks, what's the difference? You've seen one rock, you've seen them all. That's a bad plan, bro. I can assure you they are not all the same. They're all the same as the statement of ignorance. Please give me the grace of saying that without being offended. They're all the same is a statement of ignorance. Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many people are going that way. Narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. Only a few are finding it. And the way you find it is to answer rightly the question, who do you say that I am? People say there are many roads to God. The Bible says Messiah, alive and exclusive. Of course it's exclusive. Of course it's exclusive. How many temperatures does water freeze at? How many answers are there to 2 + 2? Drop a 5-pound ball off a building. How many directions can it fall? The universe that God created operates according to the rules that he has established. Truth, by definition, is intolerant. All truth is intolerant of error. And why would we think that in science and in mathematics and in every field of study, the truth does not bear error? So why would we think that in the study of the God who made all that, now all of a sudden, one thing, the other thing, all the things, what's the difference? That's nonsense. It doesn't even make sense. The shocking thing is not that there's only one way to God. That's such a prideful assertion, I'm sorry. God, forgive us for our pride. The shocking thing is not that there's only one way to God. The remarkable thing is that there's, in fact, any way at all. What could you produce as evidence that the God who made all this and is watching all this should save us? Wouldn't it make a lot more sense if he was just like, this is what you want? You think that's so great? And just push the whole thing over the cliff into hell itself. Why isn't he doing that? The Bible says that God demonstrates his love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Well, people say there are many roads to God. The Bible says Messiah, The term Messiah means anointed one. Anointed one. It's many places in the scriptures. Every time you see the word Christ, Matthew 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, Matthew 1, 16, Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. Now the birth of Jesus Christ. All of this is saying one, 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 only one. Anointing is the ceremony by which one is made king. One is taken from the group and oil is poured over him as he bows. And as they anoint one king, what they're also saying is, you're not king. You're not the king, you're not the king, you're not the king, you're not the king, you're not the king. There's only one king. That's what anointing says. And by calling Jesus, it's all in the name. By calling Emmanuel, by calling Messiah, by calling him the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, they're saying this one, no one else. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So, who do you say that I am? People say I'm good enough for heaven. I don't need a savior. Honestly, that I got to say, that's probably the most shocking and the most familiar and the most nonsensical. Really? Really? You're good enough for heaven? You're just going to walk in and fit in like you are? Remember that we may think you're better than you are. You put on a good front. We fool each other, but God knows our hearts. God knows our thoughts. You say, well, I've never killed anybody. And okay, but Jesus said, if you have hatred in your heart, that's counted as murder. And surely you've hated someone. If you could have done it conveniently, if you weren't afraid of the consequences, if you didn't want to end up on Dateline, I mean, what's in your heart? And God sees your heart. You're going to walk into heaven with that heart? That one like that? You're going to walk right into heaven just like that. And they're going to be like, oh, you fit right in. You didn't need Jesus. Awesome. Someone needs to arrest your attention and say to you kindly, let me try. That's a very bad plan. When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me, he knew what he was talking about. And so this question that he's asking you today, who do you say that I am, is the most important question. You may be thinking about what's going to happen this weekend and what's going to happen when you get your school done and what's going to happen when you get your career going and what's going to happen when you start your family and what's going to happen when you get settled in the house that you've always dreamed of and what's going to happen when your kids are born and when they grow up and when they... But 100 years from today, all of that will be worthless to you and you will grieve through all of eternity your refusal of these words if you do not get to the right answer today. Who do you say that I am? People say they're good enough for heaven. The Bible says, Lamb of God, alive and essential. In the fourth gospel, chapter 1, John's favorite term for Jesus Christ, John 1:29, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Throughout the Old Testament, thousands upon thousands of lambs were, it all actually started at a time called Passover. And how many people have heard of Passover? Have you heard of Passover? But do you know what it is? In Exodus chapter 20, they were instructed to take, as the 10th plague came to loosen Pharaoh's iron grip on God's people as slaves, so he would let them go. They were told to take a little lamb and to spill its blood and to sprinkle it on the doorposts. Exodus 12:12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And those who had put the blood on the doorpost, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. Here it is. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. pass over you. Now let's tell it like it is, taking a little lamb and cutting its throat. We're not that kind of a culture anymore. We buy our meat at the market. They were more familiar with slaughtering their own animals for their own food. Nevertheless, to take the blood and paint it over the door of your house, y'all, that took a bit of faith. I can hear some guy saying, I'm not doing that. I'm watching the game. Now you do it, or I don't want to do that. I'll have to clean it up later. It's not real. It's not going to happen. Can't you hear all that? Took a little faith to kill that animal and put that blood over the door. Now God could have showed up in that moment and laid them all out, but instead he declared the truth, gave them the opportunity to choose faith or doubt. The same opportunity that's given to you today. And might I say that far more than we're willing to admit, faith is a choice. Faith is a choice. You choose to believe. You choose to believe in the team you follow. You choose to believe in the employer you trust to compensate you for your work. You choose to believe that the chair you sat in today would hold you up, or you would never have put your weight on it. We're choosing to believe all the time. We believe that the gas in the tank will get us to the destination, or we stop and get more. You choose to believe. You choose to believe. And if you don't believe, you've chosen not to believe. Now, the Bible teaches that faith is a gift from God, but I've never known anyone who sought it and wanted it that didn't receive it in ample supply. So this is the good news. The good news is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Just think of that. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Good news. Good news. And what would keep you from embracing Christ by faith today? Pride? Independence, self-centeredness, pseudo-intellectualism. Einstein believed in God. Pascal believed in Christ as Savior. Drop your faux nonsense and humble yourself before the God of the universe who did do something. Emmanuel, who is the singular hope, Messiah, anointed one, who is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. People say, well, I will not have this man to reign over me. Well, now we're closer to the truth, aren't we? Be honest, isn't that really what it comes down to for so many? Jesus told the story in Luke chapter 19 of a businessman who was going to a far country to receive a kingdom and then come back. And so he gave to his servants an allotment of his resources and said, engage in business till I come. Luke 19:14. Listen. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. And isn't that what it really comes down to? Man, I want to be the chairman of the board of my life. I want to be the person behind the driver's seat. I want to do what I want to do. And how's that going? Isn't that the very thing that's made you so restless and so miserable for so long? What if the very thing that I'm holding out to you today, the good news of the gospel, what if that is the... I love the song lyrics by Keith Green. All my life I've been searching for this crazy missing part, and with one touch you rolled away the stone that held my heart. Now I see that the answer is just as easy as asking you in. Like a foolish dreamer trying to build a highway to the sky, all my hopes would come tumbling down, and I never knew just why, until the day when you pulled away the clouds that hung like curtains on my eyes. I was blind all these wasted years. And I thought I was so wise till you took me by surprise. And in just a moment, God's going to be taking some people. I can hardly wait, but people say, I'll not have this man to reign over me. The Bible says, King of kings and Lord of lords, alive, and notice this, insistent. Because of such bad preaching, honestly, in watered-down Western world Christianity, a lot of people take an overly sympathetic view of Jesus Christ. You know, poor Jesus, knock, knock, knocking at the door of your heart, waiting, waiting, waiting. Poor Jesus, let him in. He's cold, you know, like that. And while it is true that his heart is full of compassion for you, the Bible says that Jesus Christ will soon return. And when the opportunity, the great opportunity of choosing is gone, as it soon will be, this is the Christ the world will meet. Revelation 19:11. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, which means crowns. He has a name written that no one knows but himself, and he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. Listen now. Just going to waltz into heaven on your own good deeds? Really? From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his throne, on his robe, and on his thigh, a name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can bow to him willingly today. Someday all will bow, willing or not. The Bible says that some will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Revelation 20 says that anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Anyone's name not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The passage in Luke 19, when the king returns, he settles accounts with all of his own, and then he says, Luke 19, and as for those who would not have me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in front of me. Oh, don't feel sorry for Jesus. I labor over this because I shed tears for you and anyone who would refuse this offering of grace. So much so, in just a moment, I'm going to ask every person here to make a decision about Jesus Christ. And as I say that, the battle begins in your heart. Now, later, I'm going to put it off. I've waited a long time. I can wait a little longer. I've got time. We were at a game with some of the elders a few weeks ago, and as we were just having some snacks, I looked away. My dad was there. I was talking to him, and I looked back, and one of the executive elders in our church, I mean, some commotion had happened. I don't know what happened. I said, what happened? And in just the moment that I looked away, he began choking on what he was eating. He drank some water, and it just gurgled back out of his mouth. His face turned white, then blue. The other guys were talking. I don't know what he was doing. Someone said, is there a doctor in the house? The guy that was choking was a doctor. And he stood up and he didn't know what to do. Someone saw him. We didn't see him. And they grabbed him and did that. And the color came back to his face. I mean, how many more seconds and his life was over? There's not one person here who's guaranteed tomorrow. And so I want to make my case now for why you should decide today. First of all, the matter of individuality. Hebrews 4:13 says, you say, well, I'm gonna go on my, listen, no creature is hidden from his sight. All are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. God sees you right where you are right now. He sees you thinking and he sees you wrestling and he's striving with your heart. The matter of individuality, then the matter of eternity. Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed unto man once to die. You get one shot at this, y'all. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this comes judgment. And if you say that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, then you will pass through that judgment without consequence and into heaven for all of eternity. But if you say, no, I'll face it on my own, then you will face it on your own and fall very quickly into an eternal hell where Jesus says there is only weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the matter of opportunity. I don't think we fully always recognize how significant it is to have something offered freely. And God wants the gospel offered freely, and so we are offering it freely today. But Hebrews chapter 10 says, anyone who sets aside the law of Moses dies without mercy. You say, well, I don't need the law. They die without mercy on the presence of two or three witnesses. Of how much greater judgment will he be considered worthy who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and profaned the blood of the covenant, putting Christ to open shame, insulting the Spirit of grace. To refuse what is freely offered is to insult the Spirit of grace, and it doesn't come without consequence. Every day of rebellion is another plank kicked out of the bridge back to God. The longer we go, the less likely that we will ever turn. And so it's a matter of individuality and of eternity and of opportunity. And finally, it's a matter of urgency. Hebrews 12:25, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned from earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. So, what say you? Have you seen enough court on television where the judge hears the evidence, the witnesses come, the prosecution, the defense, it all happens, the jury goes out, the jury comes in, and the judge says, in the matter of, what say you? And that's happened here today. The evidence, the witness, the content presented, told from the beginning that you were going to be challenged to make a decision about it. That time has come. In the matter of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, what say you? Or in his own words, who do you say that I am? So let me just invite you to bow with me in prayer. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer that can change your life. If you pray it sincerely from your heart, God knows your heart. Just bow with me and pray this prayer from your heart. Just say, God, I know that I am a sinner. I could write a very long list of the things that I've done that I know are wrong. They don't please you. They're not right. I'm not defending them, but I see now that I, more than I realized, God, I sinned against you, and so I'm asking for your forgiveness. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sin. I don't know when I started believing this, but I'd be lying if I didn't say I believe it. And so I want to receive it. The Bible says that as many as have received him, to those he's given the authority to be called the children of God. And just say that to the Lord. I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. More than hearing it, more than understanding it, more than knowing it. I'm making this my own today. I'm making it personal. I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving, loving God, and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. If you're not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church, check out this new alternative. It's called the Home Church Network. You can get it at homechurchnetwork.global. All the ministry information, Bible teaching, and resources are there, and also at jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.